Good morning, congregation. I've got one announcement that I might as well make now before I do before congregational prayer. Next week, Sunday, May 5th, Jeremy Zeil, an LDCSS and Redeemer alumni, will be performing his "I Am Not My Own" tour at Maranatha CRC. It's not a loud concert style, but an acoustic performance. More details in bulletin. Let's come before our Lord and prepare our hearts and minds for a moment of worship, or today's worship, and a moment of silent prayer. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand forms the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We now have two gathering songs. Come, now is the time to worship, and I love to tell the story.
Thank you. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and I'm kind of co-preaching with a few people here. This is Gem Sunday. It's a time to honor this amazing group of people who have dedicated their lives to this idea of being a blessing. Being a blessing, that's their theme. We're going to be talking about it all day, chatting about being a blessing. It goes right back to Genesis 12. It's so exciting. It's the calling of Israel, fulfilled in Jesus, lived out by Jesus' people. When we receive, we give. So I greet you today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we may be a blessing together.
Thank you. Good morning. Before we do the litany, I just want to tell you a little bit about our GEM season this year. We had 28 girls registered, and between 25 to 28 girls came out every week. This year, our theme was Be a Blessing. As we would begin the evening, we would all come together with devotions and singing, and then the girls would be dismissed to their classes. It has been a year of learning what a blessing is, how to be a blessing, and how to receive a blessing from God. My prayer is that the girls have come to know the Lord this year in a new way and have learned tools on how to find ways that they can bring them closer to God. This year was also a unique one in that we had to cancel GEMs every Wednesday in February due to bad weather. I don't remember that ever happening. But thankfully, our annual Burakol dinner was not affected by the weather, and we had a good turnout. We finished off our season this month with a mother, father, daughter family night, family feud night, and finally with our forget-me-not tea. We would like to thank you as a congregation for supporting us with your prayers, your attendance at our functions, and your encouragement. We could not continue this ministry without you. I would also like to thank my fellow counselors for all their work that they do in mentoring these girls that God has entrusted to them. And I pray that they have been a blessing to the girls, and the girls also a blessing to them. If you feel that God has given you a gift with mentoring young girls, I encourage you to be a part of the GEMS ministry. We are always looking for new leaders. Thank you. At this time, we will do our litany. God is the fount of every blessing. He gives life, breath, and everything else. And of all the good gifts God gives, Jesus is our greatest blessing. God blesses us so that we will be a blessing. We are blessed in Christ so that all peoples will come to him.
We shall bless others by speaking blessings.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
We shall bless others by sharing your blessings.
As we come before our God this morning for a prayer of confession and the assurance of pardon, I kind of want to highlight this idea that I've been reading about in John's Gospel. And it's in John 21, where after the resurrection, since we celebrated Easter just recently, and after the resurrection, Peter and the boys went back to work. Jesus commissions them. He says, receive now the Holy Spirit. Go out and do your job. Go out and live out this gospel. And what do? They go back to work. They go back to fishing. They go back to what they knew before Jesus. And I wonder how many of us celebrate Easter, celebrate the joy of resurrection, and then just kind of go back to our thing. And I think there's a call in John's gospel to say, no, it is time. It's time to go out and celebrate. So that's what I want to bring before us, before God this morning, is a confession of maybe we're a little too Peter-like. Would you agree with me on that one? Just a little too Peter-like. Let's pray through that one. Lord, thank you for this day, this day to come before you, this day to celebrate that we can be a blessing. that all of the good things that you pour out upon us, the love of Jesus, the goodness of resurrection, the new life in him, the challenge to the powers that be, the ways of love, all those blessings that you pour onto us and demonstrated so clearly at the resurrection that at times, we tend to just go back to the way we were. We tend to, like Peter, go back to fishing, just fall into the routines that we were before we heard this amazing narrative, this amazing story of resurrection and of love and of new life. So we want to lay that before you and confess to you that we don't always live up to being a blessing, that we don't always live up to sharing that good news, living that good news, of hearing the surprise of the gospel and then just returning to the way we were before. So we want to lay that before you and say, Lord, we confess we are not the people we should be all the time. But you have promised when we do confess that our sin will be as far away from us as the east is from the west. What was dark and scarlet and blood red is now white as snow, cleaned by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we come to you in his holy name and say we are sorry and accept now your forgiveness of each one of us, your pardon of each one of us, that you call us afresh now, once we are pardoned, to then go out and be a blessing. And so many of us have so many interactions with people that we could just be blessings in small ways, learning to say hello at the right time, learning to give just a little bit more at the right time, learning to acknowledge the humanity of others just at the right time, to lift up others because you have lifted us up. Help us to receive that calling this morning, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And our hymn of response is the song Cornerstone. So if I could have the children come forward now for the children's story, that would be great. Come on up. Come on up. Few of us still gathering? Okay, I've got a question for you guys. Do you guys see this? You see what this is? Do you see what this is? Looks like a little piece of paper, but what is it? What it is actually? Can you tell what type of paper that is? What type of paper is that? Type of paper is it? Can you tell? It's photographic paper. It's a photo. I've got a photo up here, and I'm going to flip it over in a minute, but I'm going to describe the person on the photo, and then you're going to try to guess what that person looks like. Is that hard? You got that? You got what we're doing? I got a photo on here, and on the other side of this photo is a person, and I'm going to describe the person, then you tell me what that person looks like, okay? This person serves in my church more than anybody else I know. This person makes the coffee every week. This person does all of the dishes regularly in our church. This person teaches me more about service than pretty much anybody else I know. Now, what does that person look like? What do you think? What do you think that person looks like? Are they old or young? They're old. Okay. Are they male or female? Female. We had an older female on here. Would that describe a lot of older females? Would you agree with that? A person who would do the coffee, who would do the dishes, who would take care of things quite well, and from whom I would learn a lot about service. That's a pretty good description. Would you agree with that? That's not bad. Do you guys want to see who it is? All right. You tell me what that person looks like. What's that person look like? What's that person look like? You got to tell me. What's that person look like? You got an idea? He looks like me? It's my son. It's my 13-year-old son. Every week in our church, my 13-year-old son makes the coffee for everybody. Every week in our church, my 13-year-old son is the one who does the dishes, who hangs out with homeless people and loves them. Isn't that a surprise? What I love about that is this. Jesus, when he brought about the kingdom, said the kingdom is so full of surprises. In Joel, we are told that the young men and the young women, in other words, you guys, are going to be the ones leading. And in my son, who's only 13, I see my greatest teacher of what service looks like. In other words, you are the ones called by Jesus to lead us in what it looks like to love. You're not supposed to look to us to see love. You guys are leading in what it looks like to love. Let me pray for you, and then we'll chat more about this surprise idea with your family members. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing surprise of the kingdom, that young men, young women will be prophesying. They will be telling the truth of love, of service, of mercy, and grace. You tell Timothy through Paul, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but to lead, to be bold in speech, to be bold in service, to be bold in love. Help each one of these children, Father, to hear that calling upon their lives, not to just learn about service, but to live out service in their way to love others. In your name we pray, amen. Okay. So I'm going to pray for the scripture reading, and then I'm going to have helpers. Who are my helpers this morning? My scripture readers. Beautiful. Can you guys come on up? Come on up. I'm going to just pray for you, and then I'm not sure. Are you reading over there? Yeah. Okay. Let me pray, and then they will be reading the scriptures to us. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your holy scriptures and to try to understand what they mean and how they apply to our lives. Would you take these words that are about to be read and enliven them by the power of your Holy Spirit for our hearts to be touched and to be changed because we met with the words of a holy God. Amen.
So I'm reading 2 Corinthians, verse 9, 6 to 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having that all you need, you will abound in every good work. Then verse 12 to 13. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, man will praise for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of God and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else.
I'll be reading from Isaiah 52, 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. I'll be reading from Joel 2, 28-32. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
May God be blessed in the reading of his word this morning. Be a blessing. That is the verse you guys have been living out this year, to be a blessing to others. And I love this passage. I've studied a little bit of the Corinthian correspondence, and it's kind of fun how this works, how this passage works within the whole narrative and what's going on. And some really cool things. In the NIV, I don't know if you heard it, but it said grace abundantly, which has been translated into other books as be a blessing. So it's in verse 9 there, verse 8 talks about the idea of being a blessing. When you receive a blessing, you pour it out abundantly. That's the idea behind it, is that we will receive from God, and then we give away. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. That's the idea that we're looking at today. But I want to look at the context of this passage. What is going on here? And let's go back to what Paul is asking, what Paul is demanding of this church. This church, by the way, in Corinth, I don't know, was a messed up church. I don't know. Have you ever been to a messed up church? Don't put up your hand. There are some messed up churches in the New Testament, and I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me hope because, you know, if it was all perfect in the New Testament, and when then we look around today, we're like, oh, man, what happened? But within a generation of Jesus' life, the church is already a mess. I love it. I love to just soak in that grace. Do you guys too? You got to look around and just say, let's just relax a little bit in the fact that within a generation of the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, most of the people in the church would have known Jesus. It was a mess, right? So let's just relax in that grace a little bit. Let's relax in that. So what is happening in Corinth is this, that it's a messy church. And the reason it's a mess is this. The location of Corinth is really important. It's in this place. I'm going to describe it because I'm such a good geographer. And so there's a bit of an island that kind of comes down like this, and then the rest of it kind of goes up like this into the rest of Greece. So then there's this point like this, and this point here between my finger here and my finger here is only like 4 miles wide or 2 miles wide, depending on how much tide you have. And so what it became is this side of the Mediterranean and this side of the Mediterranean, instead of going around this bit of island, the sailors would come through here and kind of walk their boats across or have this company bring their boats across, because around here, down especially around here, were tons of rocks and everything like that. And so you come sailing down here and it's going to be lots of storms and it's going to be lots of nastiness. And if they could stay up here, they would stay within the where the wind was being held back by the land forms. So the sailors would come in here and go out here. And because of that, Corinth, right in here, this spot between my two fingers, right there, would be this spot where all of these sailors and all of these tradespeople and all of these people who were visiting regularly. It was a commerce city. It was a city of just things hopping all the time. And then because of that, there was a lot of people trying to make money in the city of Corinth off of those people. Does that make sense? So we have all of these people trying to make money off all of these people, and there's a lot of money and there's a lot of power in Corinth. So guess what's the issue in the church? If there's a lot of money and power in Corinth, what is the issue in the church? Money and power. And you just need to read 1 Corinthians to realize how much money and power has been playing out in negative, negative ways. That people were throwing around their weight in the church because they were important in the city, they were important because they had money, they were important to everybody else, and then what was happening is that the people who didn't have were kind of tossed aside. The most scary of how this played out in the Corinthian church was at communion time. Have you read what happens at communion in the Corinthian church? It's pretty scary. What happened is this, that the Corinthian rich people in the church would gather for a great big meal. They would eat this big meal and celebrate Jesus together. And they would have like all sorts of foods and breads and wines and all sorts of things brought in. And then after they were done celebrating communion, if there was anything left, the rest of the church was invited in. That's actually there in 1 Corinthians, and it's pretty nasty. Would you agree with me on that one? So Paul says, this is a problem. This is not the way it should be. You guys shouldn't be throwing around your weight. What you should be doing is, if you're hungry, eat at home. He actually says that. He says, if you're hungry, eat at home. And if you're not able to eat at home, come to communion and eat lots. In other words, if you are poor, come to communion and celebrate with everybody, and you will get lots there. And then he says, check yourselves. This is where the check yourselves, by the way, comes into the 1 Corinthians idea. Check yourselves, before you take communion? Are you taking it as somebody who's rich and throwing their power around? Are you taking it as somebody who's poor and doesn't get anything? Or are you taking it as the church, who says we're in it together? Who says if you've got too much, you're sharing. And if you've got too little, you're receiving. If you have a blessing, you will be a blessing. That's what he's saying about the communion elements. And then he kind of changes tactics by the time he gets to 2 Corinthians. He's fired up in 1 Corinthians, and I don't know if he just got older by 2 Corinthians. He's obviously older by the time he writes 2 Corinthians, or if he got tired, or if he just got more gentle. People have said that to me as I've got older. I've just seemed more gentle. I don't know if I am or not. But anyways, there's this Paul idea that maybe he got more gentle, because he opens up the letter with this idea of grace and blessing from God. And he says that God, the God of mercy, the God of grace, has poured out mercy and grace upon you. And then he says this, and you give with the reception of your mercy and grace. What's that mean? In other words, whatever you have received as a blessing from God, no matter how messy you still are, you begin to use your blessing at that moment. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because most of us think of this, of the way that we serve is this, that someday, somewhere, I'll be good enough to serve, right? Someday, I'll have all my Greek lined up and I'll be able to translate the scriptures and I'll have it perfectly. Someday, I'll be old enough. Someday, I'll have enough money. Someday, I will get there. And what normally happens is that we extend that someday every day. One day I'll get to that moment. One day I'll get there. One day I'll be a good enough church. One day I'll be a good enough person. One day I'll be enough. And what do we normally think about ourselves? That we are not enough to serve. We are not enough to give. And Paul says, I don't care where you think you are. I think you're there already. With whatever grace you have received, with whatever mercy you have received, give that. Give that away. And to demonstrate it, by the time he gets to chapter 9, he starts talking about a major problem that's in Jerusalem. He says the Jerusalem church has been helping one another so much, they're poor. The whole church is poor. They've been, I don't know if you read Acts 2:42 forward, but what they started doing, did you hear what they did in Acts 2:42? What did they do? Anybody know? Well done. Well done. They sold their possessions. The early church was so excited about this reconciliation of all things, this jubilee living, that they sold all their possessions and they started giving it away so that everybody would have enough. Well, what happened is it kind of drained the resources of everybody. And so by the time it's like one generation later, they're actually a church that's all struggling. And so Paul says, if there's a church struggling, it's not a church struggling, it's the church struggling. Do you get the difference? It's not a church struggling, it's the church struggling. He would go back to use the body image. What's the body image mean? Where one part is hurting, we're all hurting. My sister and I went rock climbing last night. She hasn't been rock climbing ever. Have you ever done that to somebody, where you take them to do something they've never done before? Anyways, my sister's come down from Barrie for the weekend. She was here just to hang out and stuff like that. So my son and I like to rock climb. So we go down to the Junction rock climbing and do some indoor rock climbing. And both of us are getting better at it. We're you know, we don't hurt that much. But Jean, not so much. So Jean this morning comes downstairs from where she's staying. She's walking like this. Her arms are just bursting like this. And she's like, I could barely sleep last night. Was her whole body hurting? No, just her arms. Her arms were on fire because she was using her upper arms to pull herself up this wall. And her upper arms were hurting, but the way she described it, she said, I was hurting. Isn't that interesting? She didn't say my arms were hurting. She said I was hurting. That's what Paul is saying about the church. He said if one part of us is hurting, It's not that little church in Jerusalem that's hurting. It says we all are hurting. We all are hurting. If there's one part of us that's not the way it should be, we all need to be doing something. So then Paul says to this church in Corinth, he says, you guys have cash. You guys have some cash. So I'm taking a collection. He doesn't even say, would you mind if I took a collection? Isn't that interesting? And they'll take it to committee, and they'll discuss at the church in Corinth level if they should be doing a collection for Jerusalem. None of that happens. I love this. It's so fun. Because Paul just says, I'm doing a collection. I'm sending people to do a collection. He doesn't say, oh, I'm sending people and we'll have a vote and we'll see who determines in your church if we should have a collection or not. Nothing. He just says, I'm sending people, we're doing a collection, you're helping out Jerusalem, end of story. But he also knows there's slightly human people there. So he wants to appeal to them on why they should help Jerusalem. What does it mean to help Jerusalem? And that's where this passage fits in. He said, you, even though you're a mess, have blessings among you. One of them is extra cash. One of them is extra money. And that blessing is to be a blessing to others. Wherever you are and wherever you do, Paul says, right there, that moment where you understand that you have been given more than you can possibly imagine, I want you to give that away. And he says, and that's why I had the second part read out of 2 Corinthians. He said, that's not just to help out the other people. Although that's his primary motive, isn't it? He says it's not just primarily to help other people. Although that's what he wants to do. He wants to help out the church in Jerusalem. What does he say about it? It's so fascinating how he discusses it. He says it's not just to help out other people. It will be a demonstration of the gospel. Isn't that fascinating? He said, that is the gospel lived out. The gospel lived out. That the gospel lived out is, no matter where you are, no matter where you think you are, God has given you more than you can imagine. That God has blessed you more than you can imagine. And he will take that blessing and he will use it for his glory. He will change it from what you think is hardly anything to do his work. So Paul has changed the tactics from accusing this church of not being a good enough church in 1 Corinthians to in 2 Corinthians saying, okay, you guys are a messed up church for sure, but you have received already from God. Now give it away. Now give it away. How do we see this pattern already in Scripture? That's why we had Isaiah and Joel already lived out, because there's the surprise to what the gospel means. The gospel means in Isaiah, beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, that your God will reign. God will reign. God will be, his kingdom will be announced. That's really exciting. God will return to Zion, that he will lay bare his holy arm. The surprise of the gospel is how he lays bare his holy arm. Because most of us, when we get that image of the holy arm, what do you get in your brain when you say, God's going to flex? What do you have in your brain? What do you have in your brain? What's your picture, honestly? What's your picture? Sorry? Yeah, some really strong-looking God who's going to flex his judgment, flex his power. I get this Hulk Hogan image. Anybody else? You guys might be too young for Hulk Hogan, but some of y'all out there know who I'm talking about. Who's Hulk Hogan? What did he do? He's a wrestler. He would come into wrestling, and what would he do? What would he do? He'd rip off his shirt. And then he'd flex his 26-inch pythons, brother. Do you remember that? Does anybody else remember this? Or is it just me that watched wrestling as a kid? Oh, there's a few of you. Thank you, nerds. Appreciate you all. So anyways, that's the image that Israel has too, that God will flex his holy muscles, that God will flex his holy power and reveal brother to brother, all of the world's brother, his 26-inch python's brother. And then in Jesus, we see how God is going to flex his holy muscles. that instead of flexing this way, he stretched them out this way. He will lay bare his holy arm to demonstrate to the world what true power looks like. The surprise of the gospel is what true power looks like and from whom true power comes. This carpenter, this nobody, had more authority in his teaching, according to Mark, than any of the teachers of the Torah. This uneducated carpenter had more authority. And then he begins to live out this life of love, calling all the wrong people to the gospel, to the community of God, living out Joel 2. Joel 2 is one of those passages that Peter quotes in Acts 2. He says, "Young, your sons and your daughters will begin to prophesy." That's messy. Because up to that point, who was allowed to prophesy? The priests, who were what gender? Male. That's it. And Jesus announces a kingdom that says, who's allowed to prophesy? The women. The women are now allowed to prophesy. They're allowed to declare the kingdom. They're allowed to live out the kingdom. Who's the first person who speaks out the kingdom, honestly? After the resurrection, who's? Mary Magdalene is the apostle to the apostles, is the preacher to the preachers, is a woman. Joel, too, is this surprise of the kingdom. The surprise of the gospel is not just how the gospel is going to come out, but with whom the gospel is going to be lived out. All the wrong people, all the wrong ones that we thought were discarded, all the wrong ones that we thought were going to be tossed aside, they're going to be the ones who are going to be teaching. They're going to be the ones who are living this out. So that by the time we get to the Corinthian correspondence, Paul says, you, my brothers and sisters in your messed up church, are going to live out the gospel. Because that's how gospel works. Gospel takes the weak and the ones who are broken and puts them in the middle of God's will and says, now go do God's will because you will demonstrate to power. Not this kind of power, this kind of power. Two more stories and then I'm done. John's gospel. I love John's gospel. The end of it is this story of Peter coming back to Jesus. There's two places in all of Scripture that use the same word, and it's only in John's Gospel. The word is charcoal fire. The word charcoal fire has a certain smell. Does anybody, as soon as I say charcoal fire, can you smell a charcoal fire when I say it? You know what I'm talking about? So whatever you're doing when you smell a charcoal fire, you can actually remember. Because what happens is your nose is the greatest mnemonic device. Did you know that? What does that mean? Your nose is the greatest mnemonic device. What does that mean?
Your nose is your strongest
sense. Towards what? Your memory. You're right. It's the strongest towards memory. Anybody who's ever smelled something actually knows this. When I open a banana, I am in grade 2 with my Snoopy lunchbox. Honestly, I can smell grade 2 with my Snoopy lunchbox. When I have in a public space and I squirt public space bathroom soap, I'm in grade 1 in Huron Heights Public School smelling the soap that came out of that soap dispenser. Is anybody else like that? That you're in a public, your sense of smell is so strong towards memory. So that's how this whole passage works. When Peter disowns Jesus, I don't know this man. I don't know this man. I don't know this man. Where is he standing beside? Charcoal fire. When he meets Jesus on the beach, what has Jesus started? A charcoal fire. So when Peter walks up to Jesus, guess what Peter's thinking about? Oh, man. What's honestly, this is set up like this in John or John's gospel intentionally. What does Peter smell? Yeah, he smells when he let down Jesus. Isn't that weird? He smells when he let down Jesus. So what does Jesus do? He says, Peter, do you love me? Now, in Greek, in English, we don't always translate this very well because there's two different types of love going on here. There's agape love. Do you guys know what agape love is? It's covenantal love. It means the biggest, best kind of love there is. In all ways and in all things, I will love you. That's the type of God-type love. So Jesus says to Peter, do you agape love me? And Peter says, Jesus, you know I philos love you. That's brotherly love, right? Brotherly love is like, I love you because I have to. Anybody have a brother that you're kind of feeling like that? You're like, I love you, but only because mom said so, right? So Jesus says, do you love like God loves? No matter what, no matter what the person goes through, no matter what, will you love me? And Peter says, I love you like mom told me I had to. Like, and then Jesus is like, no, that wasn't the question I asked. Let me try this again, Peter. Peter, do you agape love me? I love you like mom told me to. That's the second time. And Peter's like getting it now. Oh, that's two. I bet you he says it a third time because we're by the charcoal fire. I said it three times wrong and he's going to say a third time. What does Jesus say on the third time? He says, do you philos love me? Do you love me like mom told you to? He switches it down. And Peter says, Jesus, you know all things. Of course, I, philos, love you. And Jesus replies, then feed my sheep. What happened there? Jesus says, do you love me big? Do you love me wonderfully? Do you love me this much? And Peter says, I love you this much. And Jesus is like, oh. Do you really love me big? Do you love me this much? And Peter says, at this moment, Jesus, all I got is this much. And then Jesus says, do you have that much? And Peter said, yeah. He said, well, if you only have this much, I'm still calling you. I'm still calling you. Go feed my sheep. Of course you're not the perfect apostle yet. Of course you're not the perfect disciple yet. Of course you don't love me this much yet. But if you got this much, we can work with you. We can do that. That's what I love about Jesus. He takes our little bit, no matter what we have. And he says, I've given you a little bit, your little blessing that I've given to you. Now go use it. Now go be a blessing to the nations. Go live out your calling, Gems and Church. Amen? Amen. So we respond with a song called Freely, Freely. Let's stand, we'll sing together.
First off, I forgot to announce that Gil Clawland was going to be leading us today. And thank you for being a blessing to us and a blessing for you as well, also to as Sanctuary London, as part of your calling. Okay. Before we come to our Lord, do we have any announcements or prayer requests? Nate? All right, thanks, Nathan. Any other announcements? Herb?
Yeah, we're blessed with another grandson this week from Hannah and Herb.
Okay. Yeah, did everybody hear that? Herb's daughter Hannah had another daughter? Son. Grandson. Okay, so Minnie's conditions have changed a little bit more too, and she is basically confined to bed now and needs a lot of help, and Ray is, you know, trying his best to do as much as he can. And do they have any other help as far as?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah, I read that too. Sri Lanka, keep them in our prayers. Okay. Let's now come before our Lord this morning in our congregational prayer. Father, we bring our prayers to you this morning. May we understand the answers you are so willing to give us. Give us minds and hearts to accept them. We praise you and thank you for your patience, beauty, and your saving grace. Lord, we praise you for the gift of your Son who was sacrificed on the cross for our redemption. Your gift was given so freely. Help us to share the news that accepting your Son is our only path to you. Lord, we confess that we fall short and need your word to guide us, teach us, and mold us. Open our eyes and minds to understand that our hearts need to be filled with you. Lord, thank you for the way you care for us, for the way you bring people into our lives to love us. Father, thank you for families, for friends, for our church community, and for their offering of love and support. Give us courage to do our best to model ourselves on Jesus Christ, who gave his whole life in service to others. Father, bring peace and comfort to all of our families who are grieving. Lord, bring healing to those who face health challenges of various kinds. We think of Minnie and her challenges as she's stuck in bed, and her condition has changed a lot. And we pray that Ray also has your strength and comfort in this time. We know that a lot of times it's very difficult for these moments. We also think of Gil's and his struggles with cancer and his healing as well. We think of Kobe too, who's also dealing with a lot of pain as far as arthritis and a lot of other things. We lift her up to you as well. We think of Danielle as well too, and we continue to pray for her. We hold all these families in your hands and supply them with your healing hand, your strength, and your assurance. Lord, be with those who cannot worship with us today because of ailments and challenges. Let your light shine wherever they worship today. Lord, be with the missionaries sent out to do your work, to tend the lost, to bring them into the fold. We pray that the gift of being a missionary extends to us all, that we reach all those far away and around us in everyday life. Lord, be with us as a church as we go through changes here in Ingersoll. Be with our plans as we renovate. Lord, be with all our leadership and volunteers in the church. Give us your strength. Thank you for the GEMS program, that they could be with us here today. Be with the leaders and the girls, that they are a part of it. May they encourage, teach, and be examples to each other, creating leaders of tomorrow. Guide our pastor search team as they go through the steps to find what we are in need of as a congregation. You have already chosen someone for our needs. May we both be receptive to that calling. Father, where there is sorrow, bring your comfort. Lord, be with the leaders of this world. May they search for your truth. Lord, there are so many areas of this world with strife and war. Be with all of your children in Sri Lanka. Be with them as they are not in services today, as they've canceled their services. Lord, heal that land. Where there is violence, we need your peace. Where there is instability, your calming presence. Remind us this week to do all we can to make our country a welcoming place. Remember that we see your face among the hungry and the homeless. Lord of life, we long for a harvest of righteousness. Equip us, your church, to be agents of your kingdom, ambassadors of hope, even in turbulent times as these. We pray this all in your name alone. Amen. Our offerings today go for GEMS.
Thank you. So we pray. Thank you, Lord and Heavenly Father, for these gifts, for the blessings of these young ladies, for the blessings that you have given us each and every day. We thank you for the gifts that are given today to help all young ladies in the GEMS program in North America, and not only there, but in the whole universe. Please double these blessings and support to them as we go each day. In your name we pray, amen.
So let's stand and we'll do the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And all the saints said together, Amen. Amen.